if God sees me acting in a way that is unkind and inappropriate towards people he has placed next to me, you know what he does? He presses the mute button on my prayers. See, one of the greatest dangers we face as Christians is a false spirituality that separates our relationship with God from our relationships with other people.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you tuned in. And Colin, I can imagine somebody hearing that and saying, all right, so you say I need to avoid a false spirituality, but what do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, false spirituality is anything that focuses on a relationship with God in the absence of a practical outworking of that in terms of our relationships with other people. So, you know, here's a person who goes on at great length about their faith and their piety and their prayer and all the rest of it, and really is not acting well or speaking well towards the people God has placed next to them. Well, that's completely false. And the Bible cuts right through that because it speaks to the reality of life. And Peter particularly gets it right into the home, how wives are to relate to their husbands, how husbands are to relate with understanding to their wives. Mm-hmm. This is the practical outworking of what an authentic spirituality actually looks like. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And the more clearly we see it in the scripture, the more we're going to be inspired to pursue it in our lives.
So let's open up our copy of the scriptures to 1 Peter chapter 3, looking at the first 12 verses. As we continue the message, New Relationships. Here's Pastor Colin.
God calls us to do everything that we can in every situation. God does not hold us responsible for the attitudes and actions of another person. He does hold us responsible for our own attitudes and for our own actions, and that holds true both in situations that are easy and also in situations that are hard. So understanding that, let's come to his encouragement first to wives. And notice that Peter identifies two issues. The first is submission, and the second is beauty. First, submission, verse 1 and then 5 and 6. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Now, there is hardly a passage of scripture that's going to be more controversial in our culture than this one. And I say that simply so that you know that I know that, all right? I am, in fact, aware of this. But it seems to me for that reason we need to be especially careful that we understand clearly and rightly what it is that God says to us. Because whatever it is that God truly says, that we're committed as his people to do. Obviously, the question that arises, as many Christian wives look at this, they say, I see that principle. What is this actually going to look like in practice? And so I think it's very significant, you see, in verse 5 and 6, that Peter actually spells out in practice what this looks like by giving us a model. He speaks about the wives in ancient times who were submissive to their husbands like Sarah, verse 6, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. Now, I find this fascinating. God, of all the women in the Old Testament who could have been chosen, identifies Sarah as the model for Christian wives. Now, I think that's fascinating because of all the women in the Old Testament, Sarah was certainly no pushover. She was a strong-willed woman. And she knew how and when to draw a line. And yet, in loyal support to Abraham, she fulfilled an incredible ministry. Those who are deeply concerned about these questions might like to follow through in Genesis in chapter 21, where we are told of an incident where Sarah insisted that Hagar should be excluded from the household after Isaac was born. When Sarah said this, Abraham didn't like it one little bit. But Sarah was right. And we know that Sarah was right because God told Abraham to do what she said. That's Genesis 21 and verse 12. Check it out. Women who follow the example of Sarah, therefore, will not be giving unthinking, slavish obedience to their husbands. If you thought that's what it meant, the example of Sarah makes clear that it's not. God does not call you as a Christian wife to be a cheerleader when your husband is obviously moving in the wrong direction. There are times where your husband may need you to say, "This is wrong." Sarah did that. She was the voice of God to her husband, and there may be times when you have that ministry too. The important thing, and Peter makes this very clear, was that Sarah looked up to Abraham and treated him with great respect. She called him master, we read here. The word Peter uses could be translated sir or mister. Either way, I think it still sounds very strange to us today. But what it is telling us is that Sarah did not look down on Abraham. She didn't roll her eyes and make him look or feel foolish. Instead, she played a wonderful role in making him the great man of God that he became. And remember, those who struggle with a difficult marriage, it would be a great encouragement to you to do a study of the life of Sarah. I mean, can you imagine what it must have been like to be married to Abraham? You know, the guy that comes home and says, "Oh, by the way, God has called us to move to another country today. We'll be leaving tomorrow." "Oh, where is this other country?" "Well, I don't actually know which country it's going to be, but we'll find out as we go." I mean, can you imagine this? Boy, did this woman have a difficult life. But you know, it was Sarah who gave birth to Isaac. And it was through Isaac and his line that Jesus Christ was born into the world. Sarah could never have imagined during her lifetime what God would do through her love and loyalty and faithfulness to a difficult and yet great man. But through this lady's faithfulness to her husband, in God's chain of events, there will be a vast crowd of people who were once highly resistant, who glorify God for all eternity. Secondly, Peter speaks about the issue of beauty, verses 2 to 5. Now, he's speaking to all wives here, but notice in verse 2, he draws particular attention to the situation of a Christian wife whose husband does not believe. And as we noted last time, Peter points out that the way in which a husband would be won over will not be by words, but by behavior. Warren Wiersbe tells a delightful little anecdote of a lady, he says, who used to keep religious radio programs on at home all evening, usually very loud, so that her unsaved husband would hear the truth. Wiersbe says, all she accomplished was to make it easier for him to leave home and spend the evenings with his friends. Now, that's obviously the case, isn't it? There is a very powerful principle here for all of us who are anxious to win a close relative. Now, the unique pressure of someone within your immediate family circle who is not a believer comes from the fact that within the family, you have a captive audience. And that's what makes it so pressurized. These relationships exist. They are not chosen. They're there. And we need to be very careful that we do not abuse the privilege of a captive audience. You see, if you have a son or a daughter or a brother, a sister, a father, a mother who does not know the Lord, and they're resistant, it's so instinctive for us to become increasingly desperate about trying to win them for Jesus. And it's a great mistake to take advantage of a captive audience. Peter has great practical wisdom for us here in all these situations. What he says is, pull back on the words. Use them very sparingly. your life over time will speak louder than any words. And then he goes on to speak about what this beautiful life looks like. In verse 3, your beauty, he says, should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, Peter is not placing an apostolic ban on certain hairstyles, or on gold jewelry, or on designer label clothes. Notice what he actually says. He's not saying you can't wear them. He is saying your beauty shouldn't depend on them. If your beauty depends on something you buy, you're in big trouble. Now, we live in a culture where there is tremendous pressure on how we look. And let's be honest, there are not many of us who look in the mirror in the morning and say, yes. We tend to look in the mirror in the morning and we say, oh dear. Oh dear. Now, in the Old Testament, the temple was overlaid with gold to make it a beautiful place for God to come. In the New Testament, Christian believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the obvious question then is, what will make our lives a beautiful place for God to come? And Peter says, it's not going to be by overlaying yourself with gold. It's going to be through the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit that will make your life beautiful for God. And over time, he says, God will use that to make a deep impression on your husband, on others around you as well. Your clothing, your hair, how we keep our appearance is of importance. It will attract the attention of your husband, but that which is of greater importance is the beauty of your inner life that will glorify God, and it will speak louder than any words.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called New Relationships, part of our series called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. Now, we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to this message in just a moment. You know, Pastor Colin's series that we're listening to on the radio has been taken and put into a book form as well. We'd love to send you a copy of this book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can find out more or give online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 877-673-6365, or again, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, Peter now goes to encouragement for husbands. And again, there are two themes that he draws out. The first is knowledge, verse 7. Now, let me quote the New International Version first. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Be considerate. Now, the phrase that is translated be considerate there literally means live with your wife according to knowledge. Now, this is such a helpful phrase that I'm giving the literal translation here because I found it very helpful and I think that you will find it helpful too. Literally, live with your wife according to knowledge. You see, there is nobody else in all the world like your wife. She is not like any other woman that God has ever made. Your job, job one, is to know her, to understand her, to learn what makes her happy and pursue it. to discover what hurts her and to avoid it, to understand her struggles, her fears, her hopes, her dreams, and then let that knowledge shape the way that you relate to her at home. Never, never let it be said that her friend or her counselor understands her better than you do. Never let that be said. And if that is the truth today, you work at getting to know her until you know her better than any other. For that is God's calling to you. And it is a lifelong calling. Discover who she is today. I hear guys say sometimes, well, of course, she's not the person I dated 20 years ago. Well, that really is stating the obvious, isn't it? Of course she's not the person you dated 20 years ago. She is who she is and who God is making her today. Discover what that is. Discover what God is doing in her life now. Live with her according to knowledge as you move through life together. It is an adventure, it is a journey, and it is the calling of God that you listen to her with your heart, and that as you know her, that shapes the way that you live with her. Secondly, honor. Verse 7, treat your wife with respect. The word Peter uses here again is better translated honor. It's really stronger than respect. It means place her in the highest position. She has chosen to give herself to you. Make sure that you regard her as a sacred trust from God. Cherish your wife. Honor her with your time. Honor her with your money. Use your strength to support her and to bless her. Speak to her in a way that makes her feel that she is honored. And speak about her to other people in a way that will exalt her in the eyes of others. And why, husbands, are we to do all these things? So that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, do you see, that is why the first qualification for leadership in the church is stability in the home and in the family. Because wouldn't it be a sad thing in any church if God did not listen to the prayers of its leaders? That would be a tragedy. That's why the scripture makes it so plain that this is the first priority, because there is no effective praying, no effective ministry, no effective leadership without right living. God has joined these two things together. Changing the world begins at home. Living a life of love begins with those God has placed right next to you. And that principle, so clear for husbands and for wives, is then extended out in Peter's letter by way of encouragement for everyone. Because what begins in the home is to permeate the whole of the body of Christ, the church. Notice what he says, verse 8, finally, all of you. He's now embracing the singles. He's embracing the widows, the widowers. He's bringing together a whole family of God. And he says, now, what's to be birthed in the home is to permeate the whole of the body of Christ. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Verse 10, whoever would love life. Oh, there's a great phrase. If you really want to live, here's how we're to do it. Keep your tongue from evil. Seek peace and pursue it. And when you do that, here's what will happen, verse 12. God's eyes will be on you, and his ears will be attentive to your prayers. Many of you know John Bunyan's great book, The Pilgrim's Progress. It pictures the Christian life as a journey in which a character by the name of Christian meets many others along the path that he travels. And one of these characters is entitled Mr. Talkative. And Bunyan has a brilliant little cameo of this character. And I want to just read it as we come to a close. Let me tell you what type of fellow Mr. Talkative is. Like a chameleon, Bunyan writes, he changes his colour every time he changes his environment. Pure religion has no place in his heart or his home. His religion is only in his tongue. His neighbours say of him that he is a saint abroad and a devil at home. His family find it to be so. At home he is rude and uncouth, with a temper like a buzzsaw and a tongue like a scorpion. Now, we've all met Mr. Talkative. He attends church and he's one thing. He goes home and he's another. A saint abroad, a devil at home. And God is never fooled by Mr. Talkative. We are to live in such a way that highly resistant people will come to glorify God. And if we're to do that, we must seek to act redemptively and to pray effectively. And that means making very sure that nothing hinders our prayers. And that begins at home.
You know, a practical and important program for us today here on Open the Bible. What a reminder that how we treat others really does impact the effectiveness of our prayers. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called New Relationships. It's part of a larger series, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. And you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported. We're able to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd like to offer you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, the book is based on 1 Peter, but where did the idea of the book come from?
Well, that came from my pastor, Derek Prime, who's now with the Lord. He was convinced that the best way to help a new believer get established in the faith was to take that person through the first letter to Peter. And he had very good reasons for believing this. Here's a letter in the New Testament that addresses all of the basics of the Christian life and brings them together in one place. And of course, there are many, many good resources that help people get established in the Christian faith. Often they take verses from different parts of the Bible, and it can be quite confusing. You know, if you're a new believer, look up this verse in Hebrews and then look up something else in the Gospels and something else from Isaiah in the Old Testament. What's really helpful and what I learned from my pastor is teach a person to learn from one part of the Bible. And as they learn to learn from one part of the Bible, they'll be able on their own to go on and learn from other parts of the Bible as well. And 1 Peter is just a marvelous place to start. And it begins so wonderfully with the theme of living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it really does address everything that a new Christian needs to get hold of in order to pursue a life of following the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-673-6365. Again, our website is openthebible.org and our phone number is 1-877-OPEN-365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. A picture is worth a thousand words, but the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be fully grasped through images alone. Discover what's missing next time on Open the Bible.